It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we check out a forgotten singing sensation from Sheboygan and take a look at some up-and-coming music from our state.
First, for most people in the United States, safe drinking water is something to be taken for granted. But here in Wisconsin, nearly 1.5 million people rely on private wells for their drinking water. There are serious concerns in some areas about contamination and the potential impact on health.
Just this weekend, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism released the latest report in their Water Watch Wisconsin series. This story, Failure at the Faucet, focuses on groundwater quality near the former Badger ammunition plant near Baraboo. Over several decades, tons of chemicals and heavy metals were released from the plant and have affected the land and water used by local residents.
Joining us now are Kathy Matthews-Risley and Dee Hall. Kathy's a graduate student in journalism at the UW-Madison. She wrote and reported this story for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee Hall is co-founder of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and currently serves as its managing editor. Kathy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Dee, thanks for coming into the studio.
Sure, no problem.
So, Kathy, give us some background. What went on at the Badger Ammunitions plant?
In a short story, it's a very long, complicated story, obviously. It was built in 1942. People were moved off the land in order for the plant to be built, but they produced ammunition for the various wars, starting with World War II, and went right through Vietnam. It was decommissioned in 1975. And what's happened in that process and what happened across the country was the disposal of the waste was not done in a way, and as we say in the story, that would be tolerated today. Things were burned in pits and disposed of in waterways, and as a result, there's a lot of groundwater contamination yet today.
And what waterways and groundwater areas are affected by what came out of Badger?
Well, there are three distinct contaminant plumes that are still at Badger in the groundwater, and they are moving very slowly towards the Wisconsin River and Lake Wisconsin. The materials were disposed of, dumped into Gruber's Grove Bay, which is a Lake Wisconsin. Lake Wisconsin was created by the dam in Prairie du Sac, damming the Wisconsin River. So it's a very popular place for people to have homes, second homes, or even their own first homes.
And Dee, how long have there been concerns about water quality in this area around Badger Ammo?
Well, I think the remediation attempt, or at least the investigation attempts, started, you know, more than 30 years ago.
About 1980 is when they first started.
Right. So they started figuring out that, hey, this might be a real problem. And then there have been monitoring of wells ever since then. And, you know, of course, they did turn up a variety of compounds in the water. Some of them are cancer-causing. Some of them have other serious health effects. And so, you know, folks there have been concerned about using their water. A lot of them use bottled water.
And Kathy, tell us more about the materials that they have found and the kind of levels we're talking about.
Sure. The DNT, and I'm afraid I will not pronounce it correctly, but DNT is the acronym they use. It was developed, or it is a compound used, I believe, in the production of the smokeless gunpowder. And also TCE, trichloroethylene, was a solvent. It's one of the volatile organic compounds that were used widely across the country. But this was, I think, for maybe metal parts. Exactly how it was used, I'm not positive. And then there was carbon tetrachloride. Those are the three main elements right now that they are discovering in various small levels in wells, as Dee mentioned. They're monitoring on site, but also they have been monitoring private wells, and that's how they discover that there are elements there. And some of them are exceeding the enforcement standards that have been set by the state. So that's where the concern is that still so many years after the cleanup started, you're seeing these excessive amounts.
You follow one person who's lived in this area on and off for a long time, Mary Jane Cook, for most of the last 50 years. She had stories of her childhood and then being there as an adult and encountering similar water problems.
Hers is an incredible story because she witnessed it as a teenager when they bought their cottage It was a family cottage north of what is where the Prairie du Sac Dam is now. It's on Gruber's Grove, which is where things were disposed of. And it was a small cabin that they went to and enjoyed water skiing and all of that. But she remembers things like water rushing out of pipes that came under Highway 78 and that actually pushing the bottom of the lake up towards the cabin. She remembers the muck that her mom actually got stuck at one point. She remembers just they didn't know exactly where it was coming from. Well, this was in the 60s, and things were and that's when Badger was back up and running for the Vietnam, getting geared up for Vietnam War. So she saw these things happening. They actually built a home in 77 about a mile and a half south of that cottage, and they're there till today. So she's been part of this investigation, so to speak, for a long time.
Talking to Kathy Matthews-Risley and Dee Hall, both from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, looking at groundwater and waterways around the old Badger ammo plant near Baraboo. Dee, I want you to put this into context for us. This is part of a wider series on water in Wisconsin. There aren't many places, I imagine, that have gotten as much scrutiny as the area around the Badger ammo plant. How unique is this site?
Well, it is unique in the sense that there are these 400 monitoring wells. They've really been tracking the contamination there for a long time. But this is part of a larger series called Failure at the Faucet that we launched several weeks ago and will continue through the end of the year and early into next year. And it's based on primarily student reporting from a journalism class at the University of Wisconsin-Madison with our help, with the center's help. And we discovered that there's a lot of potential contamination out there that is simply undiscovered at this point because there are so many people, for example, who rely on private wells. 1.7 million people drink water from private wells. The vast majority of those wells have rarely, if ever, been tested for a variety of contaminants. We've also got other things that we're looking at. There are natural contaminants like radium and strontium that we're finding at surprising levels, at such high levels, in fact, that wells have to be closed down. Waukesha, for example, is talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of expenses to draw water from Lake Michigan, which is very controversial. But that's primarily related to the fact that the deeper they drill, the more radium they find. So that our main thrust of the series is to let people know that there are dangers, including lead in people's water, that they're most likely not aware of.
And Kathy, for people like Mary Jane Cook, there have been periods, long periods maybe, where they can't drink the water in their taps?
Right. When she found out, the Army had been testing private wells back in about 2004. That's when they discovered DNT in a couple of private wells in a neighboring subdivision. So they also tested her wells at that time and found ethyl ether. And at that point, she was notified by the Army. They brought bottled water. And at that point, she decided not to ever drink from her tap again. So she doesn't. To this day, she drinks bottled water. I guess this would be a time to say that the Army is looking at a proposed water system that they would put in for residents, about 400 residents along the town of Merrimack, Sumter, and Prairie du Sac that would be able to use the system. It's not a done deal at this point. There's been meetings and public open public sessions to talk about it, but at this point, it's still probably a year away.
I know there have been remediation efforts, dredging, things like that, but I want to talk about transparency. Mm-hmm. Is there a sense in this case that people know what they need to know from when the plant was operating and since then?
That's a really good question. I mean, I found a lot of information, but I did a lot of digging as well. There have been questions. My own question was, how did some of these homes get built in this area? Because they knew about the issues. There have been a lot of sessions where they will talk about the cleanup and the Army and the DNR and how it is. The levels are dropping, but the thing is, it's been going on for so many years, 30 years, and it's still there, and that's what people hear. And even though they're containing it, as they say, they're relying on natural attenuation to take care of the problem. Well, anyone living near the site and having a private well is concerned. What if it doesn't do what they think it's going to do?
And Dee, on a wider note, staying with the issue of transparency, do people have a right to know and ability to get information about what the water is like in their area, especially well owners?
Well, well owners can have their own wells tested, but there doesn't seem to be any particular program to warn people. One of the other folks that we profiled in our story about nitrate built a beautiful home also close to the Wisconsin River down near Spring Green, and they were mortified to find out that their water was twice the health standard for nitrate after they drilled their well. They felt like they were completely blindsided by the fact that their water was not safe to drink for, especially that nitrate is very dangerous to young, like babies and pregnant women. And they, at the time, they had, you know, a couple of their daughters-in-law and a daughter were pregnant. They had little grandchildren running around, and they just felt really blindsided by the fact that their water was completely unsafe.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dee Hall is managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, and Kathy Matthews Risley is a graduate student in journalism at the UW-Madison. She wrote and reported on this story for WCIJ. We'll get a link to their reporting on the Central Time Facebook page.